Good afternoon. You're listening to KTOO. I'm Yvonne Crumry. Alaska author Lily Tesroyuk was recognized as one of USA Today's Women of the Year earlier this month. Past awardees include Kamala Harris, Goldie Hawn, Quanah Chasing Horse, and Nicole Mann, the first Native American woman in space. The award honors women who are, quote, using their voices for change. KOTZ's Desiree Hagen talked to the author about her book and what's next.
Lily Tesroyuk says she was stunned when she heard the news. USA Today's Woman of the Year is awarded to around 60 women nationally every year, with one selected from each state. Tesroyuk was Alaska's awardee.
It was a great surprise and a great honor, and I thank my people for bringing me this far.
Tesroyuk is Inupiaq, Tlingit, and Nishka, a First Nations people in present-day British Columbia. The 46-year-old author's debut work, Sivulik Ancestor, published in 2022, is a historical fiction novel set during the commercial whaling boom of the late 1800s.
It's a story of survival and making a trek across Arctic Alaska up into Arctic Canada, Herschel Islands. The theme of it is a mother's love and cultural knowledge.
The year is 1893, and smallpox has decimated Indigenous communities in Northwest Alaska. And in the middle of that devastation, an Inupiaq mother is attacked by white men. When she regains consciousness, she learns her young daughter has been kidnapped by a whaling captain from New England. In pursuit of the kidnappers, she travels hundreds of miles through brutal Arctic storms while simultaneously witnessing the effects of colonization and sickness along the way.
I wanted to show resilience and survival of what an Indigenous mother, an Inupiaq mother, would have to do for her children to survive.
A large portion of the book takes place in villages around Tesroyuk's home community of Point Hope, or Tikiak, in Inupiaq. She says, as an Indigenous author, it's important for her to tell the stories of her ancestors.
Tikiak is the oldest continuously living settlement in America. And so many researchers, historians, explorers, quote-unquote explorers, have traveled to Point Hope and written about Point Hope, but from the non-Native perspective. Not all of them saw us as human beings.
Tesroyuk says she spent 2 years writing full-time on the book. A large chunk of that time was devoted solely to research. She says the story was inspired from firsthand accounts from tribal leaders and elders, as well as Tikiak's oral stories from recorded archives. In researching 19th century whaling, Tesroyuk explored archives of the Massachusetts towns of Nantucket and New Bedford, as well as ship logs and census records. And then she made an interesting discovery.
I discovered that there was a lot more people of color in the whaling industry than what we've been taught.
Tesroyuk says learning about African-American crewmen allowed her to explore time through another lens, beyond Indigenous and non-Indigenous perspectives.
It does offer a different nuance, a dynamic into your storytelling.
Tesroyuk says she's already started working on her second novel, also historical fiction, that takes place in 1950s Canada. It will focus on trauma around residential schools. She says she hopes it will bring more attention to crimes the Canadian government and various religious institutions committed against Indigenous peoples. While both books deal with some heavy topics, Tesroyuk says ultimately she wants to convey the strength of Indigenous nations and her ancestors.
It is about reclaiming our stories, how we view the universe, and our people's history, the land's history. I think not enough has been written of how healthy we were as a nation, as Indigenous peoples, before we were affected by sickness and epidemics and famine.
Lily Tesroyuk's book, Sivulik, Ancestor, is out now. She says she hopes to complete her second novel by the end of next year. In Kotzebue, I'm Desiree Hagen.
And for this week's episode of Tongass Voices, perspectives from the homelands of the Akkwan and beyond, Joshua Laboka, known around Juneau as J-Bo, is the music producer and content creator behind dozens of artists around Southeast Alaska. He and his 9-year-old daughter, Harmony, also produce music together.
All right, Harmony, can you turn on the speakers here, the big speakers? Full name is Joshua Laboka. So I go by J-Bo Audio. That's what a lot of people know me as in town. And we are here at our home studio where a lot of artists and bands come in to record and perform in the booth over here. So I went to school at the Academy of Art University in San Francisco. We had some family issues back here in Alaska, so I decided to continue going to school here online. And then I ended up opening up a studio, but I never wanted to do music for artists. And then, so I had to tell myself, like, I want to keep doing this. So how do I merge what I know about, like, sound design, editing, Foley and effects? How do I apply it to music, like, for artists? So as I was mixing artists, like, beats and stuff, I would, and their vocals, I would apply it, and then I eventually, like, grew a passion for mixing and producing for artists in town. My daughter and I, we do have a YouTube. It's Harmony and J-Bo Audio, where we make instrumentals. I'll have the beat down, and I'll do the mixing, and Harmony will do the guitar and pianos.
All right, Dad. One bar pre-roll, please.
She got inspired by the movie Sing, and there's this character named Ash that plays the guitar, voiced by Scarlett Johansson. And then the only way that I knew for us to continue to work on her playing guitar was that we had to make instrumentals. So every week, like, she would play chords, she would lay chords down on instrumentals that I had. And every week, it was just improving on that. And that's how, 4 years in now, she plays it pretty good.
Usually we do the guitar first, and then if you're making, like, a song, then you do guitar, vocals, and then piano.
You come in at bar 3. Punch me in at bar 1 and go 3 on bar 1. Let me make sure I have tone here. And she knows, like, the basic controls of when to record, when to stop, going at certain bars and stuff. So let's go 3. Okay. We usually film this whole process, so even during the mess ups, we'll still put it in the edit. So because it's just you're never gonna get anything perfect. So put me back at bar 1, Harmony. Aside from that, once we get it mixed and edited, I'll put some visuals to it, and then we put it on YouTube, and we just that's our process.
It's actually really fun because when we do it, he usually, like, tell me what's wrong or, like, what to improve on. And then he lets, like, and then sometimes we do games that we made up and, like, practice together and sing stuff together or make videos together.
We have a back and forth, too. Like, it's not always, like, Brady Bunch or anything. It's like, no, we should do this. No, Harmony, no. Dad, no, I know. You know, we have this, like, back and forth banter that we always do. But that's kind of, like, it is the relationship that we have. And it makes it so that, you know, if I'm not doing something right, she calls me out. She's not doing something right, I call her out. So the saying that we go right before we end our session is it's never a good day
without a challenge.
So fail fast.
Fail forward.
Fail a lot. We say the word failure more than we say success, because we've grown in the knowledge of music, and we've grown in making music from all of that.
was Joshua and Harmony Laboka for this week's Tongass Voices. You also heard Harmony singing her song, Growing. You can find their videos on YouTube. This is KTOO.